Psalm 48. Psalm 48, a song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Matthew 23. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Galatians 4. Galatians 4:25. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Hebrews 12. For completeness and connection, verse 18, Hebrews 12:18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight, that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and so on. Revelation 21. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Mention has been made more than once that there are terms which are used in various parts of Scripture, and as always, each needs to be considered in its context, and it would be a mistake to set out with the thought that inevitably the same word will mean the same in all the Scriptures. We've seen examples in Galatians, and while it was mentioned today in the reading, there wasn't really sufficient time to consider the examples of the way in which the city of Jerusalem is referred to. Perhaps it might help things along if we look at them now. Psalm 48. In the verses read, indeed, in the psalm, the name Jerusalem is not used. There's no doubt, though, is there? The city that was being considered exiles, the beloved city occupied by hostile powers, their thoughts, even in a far-off land, were concentrated on that which was precious to God. I'm not surprised that such words are attributed to the sons of Korah. Wherever the sons of Korah come in, there is a tribute to the effect of an appreciation of the mercy of God. Whatever the immediate circumstances, in the mercy of God, they were permitted to have right thoughts about God's earthly center. And of course, many poems, songs, hymns have been based upon these words that we've read. I just mention that so that even where the name isn't mentioned, our hearts can beat in sympathy with those whose hearts are touched by the very place which is the center of God's dealings on earth. We move to Matthew 23. Brief mention of each. Must be important, one of what we might term the double appellations of Scripture. if a person, if a place, if a thing is mentioned in this double-barreled way, there must be something important being considered. The Lord had labored, the Lord had blessed, the Lord had healed, but now a point of climax. In the Gospel to the Jews, written by a Jew, to bring a message to the Jews, considering the Jewish position before God, how appropriate that in this Gospel the Lord looks over the city. Beloved to God, beloved to the people of God. And in the light of his personal rejection, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft, constantly, always available to them, his every offer spurned. Crucial in the history of the nation, when Messiah presents himself to the city and to the nation, we will not have this man to rule over us. And so, in deep sorrow, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I, but ye would not. Oh yes, the exiles, in fury, longing for the city, but oh, how often amongst the people of God, in theory, in line with the heart of God, and yet when the opportunity presents itself, to draw back. Psalm 48, geographical. Matthew 23, absolutely crucial in the history of the nation. Galatians chapter 4. For completeness, let us think again about what we considered in the reading. Verse 25, Jerusalem, which now is. It was still there in the Apostles' day. The nation was still there in the Apostles' day. But consequent upon Matthew 23 and all that's involved there, having refused the prophet Messiah, an empty shell. Nothing spiritual there at all. The national position of the nation expressed in the fact that Jerusalem and those who were in it and those who officiated under the law rejected the opportunity. The nation was barren towards God. Still like that, the national position of Israel, very zealous nation, very competent nation, And yet, a zeal not according to God. But there is a Jerusalem. There is a center of God's thoughts. Why, says the apostle, accept the teaching from what used to be God's earthly center, when now there is a heavenly center from which grace makes freely available the blessing of God? And so, as we've considered, Jerusalem, which is above, God's center, focused on the person of the Son of God, risen, ascended, glorified at the right hand of God, there is an administration of God now, centered in him, he who died and rose again. And this is where the liberty is from. This is where the access to God. This is from whence the blessing of God is now freely available, not on the grounds of law, but of grace. And this is what brings in the true liberty. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Hebrews 12. Why were both Galatians and Hebrews necessary? Isn't it the same message? Christianity is superior to Judaism. Grace is abundantly more blessed than law. And yet, from a slightly different angle, one message to converted Gentiles who were never under the law, we've been thinking about that in Galatians. Why address a similar epistle to the Hebrew believers? They had, as a nation, been under the law. God's way of blessing, keeping the law. God's center of blessing, Jerusalem. God's nation of blessing, God's special people, Israel. They'd given all that up. They'd come to Christ. Things weren't easy. They were suffering. They'd been led to believe that relationship with God brings blessing and peace and prosperity. And they were suffering for the gospel's sake. Had they made a ghastly mistake? Had things all gone wrong? Had they made a terrible error in turning away from their national religion and coming to Christ? And so in Hebrews, the writer has this to say, hasn't he? Be comforted. Be assured. Judaism was at best temporal, related to and bounded by time. You've been brought to that which is eternal. Judaism concerned with that which was sensual, not only material, but sensual. And you've been brought to that which is spiritual. Furthermore, you were connected with that which was earthly. You've now been brought to that which is heavenly. advantageous, superior in every possible way. Now, in that context, he mentions Jerusalem. Chapter 12. He starts on the negative side, verse 18. You are not come to certain things. And again, he refers to things which are sensual, pertaining to the five natural senses, things that can be seen and heard and smelled and tasted and touched. And he says it was a sensual system pertaining to the senses. This is why he says, ye are not come into a mountain that might be touched, a mountain that was tangible, things that burned with fire, which were visual, things where there are, among other things, the sound of a trumpet, audible, sensual matters. He says, oh no, you have something far better now. You've been brought to that which is spiritual. Good conference material, some time for a conference. Hebrews 2, chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. We can't go into it all. But in verse 22, he says, ye are come. Christianity is not mainly concerned with that which is negative. Unbelievers looking at us, the first thing they notice about us is the things that we don't do, and the places that we don't go to, and the habits that we don't have, that mark us out as different to other people, unbelievers. Let us not be ashamed if we are different because we are in line with the will of God. But here he says, ye are come to Zion. Here we are again. God center on earth, where David was crowned, unto the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. I won't embark on the whole section, but here we are again. How fitting that when he says, don't concern yourself at having lost that which is earthly, you've been brought into that which is heavenly. When Jerusalem is mentioned, the adjective used is appropriate to the setting. In weaning them away from the earthly, he introduces them to that which is heavenly, heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 22. Or rather, 21, verse 10. Not now geographical, Psalm 48. Not that crucial epoch when the nation and the city rejected him, Matthew 23. Not the present national spiritual condition, Galatians 3 in one verse. Not the present blessed position of the assembly. Not the position of advantage given to converted Jews and Hebrews, but now the day of display. God's thoughts will not be thwarted. God's purpose, singular, will be brought to pass. What he has decreed will occur. And there will be a period of 1,000 years on the face of the earth, where things will be demonstrably in accord with the mind of God. There will be God in heaven, Christ on the throne, and there will be God's heavenly center of administration, the assembly, heavenly Jerusalem. There will be God's earthly center, where the earthly regent, acting on behalf of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be there representatively in Jerusalem. Read the chapters in Ezekiel. Blessing flowing from heaven, from God, through Christ, the assembly, the nation of Israel, out to the uttermost parts of the earth. What will be the character of the administration? So in verse 10 of chapter 21, we find that when this is brought to light, we find that this center of administration, through which all the blessing will flow from God, from heaven to earth, out to all the nations, completely in accord with God, holy, separate, sanctified, absolutely set apart for God. Oh, those who in the mercy of God in difficult days on earth, like the Jews in exile, they need encouragement. We need encouragement. We need to be reminded that all is well in the hands of God. Let us not make the mistake that Abraham and Sarah did, saying, well, if things are to be sorted out, we'll have to take them into our hands and do it our way. The end is secure. There will be a day of display. There will be that full cycle of time, 1,000 years, prefigured in these later verses in Revelation 21. Preciously, the consort, the bride, the Lamb's wife, touchingly referred to, but it is the character that's emphasized in relation to the city, completely according to God. I took verse 10 before verse 2 for the obvious reason that verse 10 is millennial and verse 2 is eternal. We could put other scriptures to it, but the context here will suffice. The assembly, the vessel of display in the kingdom, the vessel of response in eternity. Something completely different to what had ever been experienced until Christ came. The fruit of the work of Christ. And so we find here the appropriate adjective here is, it's new. After a completely new kind, previously unrevealed, previously unknown. And as we consider the history of Jerusalem and the many ways in which it's spoken of, how happy that the mention of the eternal character of it in this particular scripture reminds us of this. In the kingdom, God, Christ, the assembly, the nation of Israel, all the nations. In eternity, God, Christ, the assembly, men. The only distinction drawn, the only place there is which highlights any distinction at all, is that which highlights the assembly. Another incentive that when days are difficult, if that is the eternal destiny of that which is according to the heart of God, the blessed consort in the kingdom will also be the eternal companion of the Christ of God. We need no other incentive, do we, to be faithful to him in difficult days. The immediate pressure, the immediate circumstances are often very hard to bear. We know it. But we need the perspective of the world to come. We need the perspective of eternity to enable us not just to be able to handle the scriptures with comfort and spiritual intelligence, but to give us the incentive ahead of that day to be true to him while we are still upon earth. May the Lord help us to learn these things and put them into practice.